I wanted to start off kind of before I get to the main text. The main text is going to be in John 14, but I wanted to start in Ephesians 3. So Paul, we're going to start in verse 8. Paul was basically having like the purpose of the mystery, right? And he says, "To me who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages who has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities, powers, and in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So in the beginning of time, God created so many things. Created the entire world down to just the smallest atom, cells, and everything. Animals, every animal that you see, he just spoke it and it was. However, with man, he formed. He formed and he breathed life into. So unlike animals who don't have souls, we have souls. God breathed his life into us, right? He breathed life. We look at that, he creates Adam, he gives Adam a helpmate, and he puts them in a garden, provides everything for them. Nothing lacking, nothing. They didn't have to want for anything, right? But he put them for the specific purpose in Genesis 3 to rule. Like, he was the caretaker, right? God wants you to rule in your own personal space. Everything around you, your sphere, your world, he wants you to rule. Look throughout time, God uses man almost as a vehicle for his will to be done. So you think about this sovereign Lord, this sovereign being that can speak things into existence. He can speak it. There it is. He can make it happen. Yet, we look through history and God uses man as a vehicle essentially to make his will be his will. But every one of those men, women, there has to be some kind of communication. There's some kind of relationship with God, isn't there? For that will to be done, for him to use them to accomplish his will. So, if you think about it in the aspect of like sound waves, right? Sound waves are all around us. Like right now, if we have a two-way radio, we could turn it on and hear maybe somebody talking somewhere, right? But you can't hear it unless you got to turn, you have the radio, right? You have to be in the loop. Those radios then are the vehicles in which audio then is able to be, we're able to hear it. That's the only way. So God wants to make known, as you see in Ephesians 3:8, he wants to make known his mysteries through man, through the church. So the biggest thing that I'm going to be pushing here is knowing God and knowing God through prayer. So in John chapter 14, apologize, I'm trying to find my place. We're going to start in verse 7. And this is right before, you know, we're getting to the end of Jesus' ministry. He was soon to be crucified. He's sitting with his disciples. And you start in verse 7 and he says, "If you had known me, you would know my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." So Philip, I mean, he's been traveling with Jesus now for a while. They're bros. He's been there. He's seen them do miracles. He's seen the power of Jesus. You would have to think by now that he would be seeing Jesus and know that he is God. He is the Son of God sent down here. You would think he would know that after seeing blind healed people walking. So he says to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And when you go and you read that, it kind of makes you sit back there. I mean, Philip was with him. In our vernacular, like, Philip would be saved, right? I mean, he was, everybody would consider him. They would see him traveling with Jesus, and yeah, that guy's going to heaven. But he didn't know. He didn't know. Show us the Father. So Jesus has to almost scold him, like, "Dude, you've been with me all this time, and you haven't known me? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and my Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." So if you're not even going to believe it, just look at the work that I've done. And maybe that'll help you out. Well, prayer in our lives, you know, everybody says read the Bible and pray. Yes, grow spiritually, grow spiritually. And what idea do we have of prayer to go and kneel down? And I've been there. Everybody in this room's been there. We go there and we sit there and we pray our will on earth to the Father and then get up and then walk away. Everybody in here is guilty of it. But prayer is a communication link between the visible and the invisible world. So we can actually, by through our prayers, you know, let me not get ahead of myself. This isn't saying that God doesn't honor our request, right? But there are some things that God won't give us because it's in his will, but we're not really praying in his will. We're just praying for our own personal wants and needs, right? We're praying for, "God, please give me a better job. Please help me get a better paying job. I want to make more money. I want to bless this, bless that. I want to see this happen. I want a new car. I want a new house." We always pray like our own personal wants and needs. And maybe that's not really God's will for you. Maybe in the future, yeah, he wants to give you a house. He wants you to not rent or something. He wants you to have your own house, but that's not in his will right now. You're trying to pray it into his will, but it's not in his, maybe that's not in the will for your life right now. Prayer is finding out what God's up to. Not praying in light of your own will, but praying in light of, "God, what do you want to do? God, what are you up to today? How do you want to use me today?" It's a thing of that we're not promised tomorrow, so then we need to be thinking about what does God want to do today, not what God's going to do 10 years from now. We might not be here. The one scary thing that should always be on someone who says, "Yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ," is the scariest thing is to be in basically the line in heaven waiting for your turn and God looking at you. I feel like I'm going to be known as like the crying preacher or something. But knowing, sitting there and then like having God look at you and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That is like the scariest thing to me. So what are we doing right now to know him? yeah, we can sit down and pray, that we can have visitation. Visiting God, going and saying prayer before supper, and saying prayer together, and having, you know, some kind of fancy spiritual prayer. But what are we doing? Are we communicating with God? Are we wanting to know, like, what God's will is for us for that day, for that purpose? How are you purposing me today? So if prayer is finding out what he's up to, then prayer would then be specific, right? It's not a general thing. Oh, bless the earth. Oh, bless my community. Help me be a light to my community. God is a God. He's sovereign. He's God. We're specks of dust. So it's, let's look at, if he wants to, he can rain down conviction on everybody in this town and they can just come here. But let's look all throughout the Bible. What does he use? Man, us, a fallible being, something that lets him down constantly. So he goes on and he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, what does that tell us? If you're praying the will of God, and you're searching for the will, you're communicating the will of God, when your prayer doesn't become, God, this is what I want for my own personal life. This is what I want for my own personal world, for my own well-being, for my life in general. When we stop doing that and praying for his will, he knows the desires of your heart. And we're going to get to those verses in just a second. But communication is a two-way street, right? I can come up to Jeff and be talking to him about my day and just ramble on and on and on and on, and he doesn't say a word, and I don't ask him about his day or anything else, and I'm done, I'll see you later. Did we really communicate? Did he have any input in that conversation at all? No, that's just me talking. Like a big dummy, just sitting there talking. It's selfish, really, what it is. It's just a selfish conversation. But how many times do we have selfish conversations with God? How many times do we get down on our knees and pray, and it's all about, God, what are you going to do for me? Shouldn't it be, God, what do you want me to do? So if you jump a chapter in John 15:7, it's a turn of the page. Jesus is talking about being the vine and the branches. At the end of that, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you be my disciples. If you abide in me. So looking at abiding. So it's really easy to say, yep, I believe in Jesus, I'm a Christian. It's all great. Those are easy things to do. Very, very easy. But abiding, so the definition of that is accepting or acting in accordance with rule, decision, or recommendation. Continue without fading or being lost. Abiding in him isn't just visitation. It's not just stopping quick 5 minutes. Hey, bless my day. Bless my family. Protect us. Peace. See you later. Off to work. That's not abiding. If you actually look in Matthew and Mark, Jesus actually said to the disciples and this should be convicting, like, for everybody. is saying to the disciples, can you not tarry for 1 hour? Jesus would go off by himself and pray, right? Why to abide with his Father? But he looks at the disciples, can you not tarry for 1 hour? So like, think about that. Like, when's the last time that you could tarry for an hour? Oh, here, let me set this to the side, and God, let's talk, let's chat. You know, me and Jeff, it's not like we talk every day. You know, even like this week, I was pretty busy doing side work, not getting home late. You know, when me and my wife don't talk, then when we see each other, it's like, even though I've been home at night, you know, a couple days, it's like, man, I feel like we haven't talked in weeks. Well, how much is it then, you know, when we don't sit down, have quiet time, and talk with God? Find out what he wants to do. Praying, God, how do you want to use me? And waiting for an answer. And everybody says, whoa, wait a second here. You know, because you say that in the secular world, right? God spoke to me. What's going to happen? We're going to have to come get you out of the mental institution. That's the first place they're going to throw you, is that God can't talk to people. Right? It's pretty scary. So having said that, it's how do you hear from God? That's the biggest question. It's probably like the biggest question, especially like newer believers, is, hey, I don't know how God doesn't talk to me. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. More than you know. But first, it's through so I'll tell you, easiest way you have a problem. Just pick one. Somebody throw one out to me. Nobody has problems? All right. Okay. Money. Most talked about thing is in the Bible. Money. That should be like the first direction. I have a problem. What is it? God, how do you want me to deal with this? Find it. Does everybody believe this is God breathed? God speaks to us through his word. Amen. Doesn't change. Then that's the first place to go. God speaks to all of us every day, whether we want to believe it or we don't. So he'll speak through his word. So that's the first direction. If you're still not getting specific enough for you, you know, for your mind to comprehend it, then it's listening, waiting for God to bring the thought to you. Has anybody ever had that, like praying and praying and praying about something, then all of a sudden, thought that's not mine, and it's way smarter than I am? Happens to me all the time. Thought. Do we not think that God can do that? We don't want to credit it to him, I guess, or something? Is that we don't want to give him credit? But God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. That's how it goes. That's our power here that he's left us with. He left here is this gift, the Holy Spirit, to give you power. So the most common thing that you see, well, I should say it's not common amongst the church, right, is you have some people that's like, well, I just don't really know. I just only know how to pray generally. I don't know how to pray specifically. Well, the Bible teaches you about that too, doesn't it? Right? And this is one thing, like preparing for this, pretty much this spoke to me, and this has almost just been my prayer like the entire week. In Matthew 6:5, he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, They have their reward. Don't worry about it, I'm taking care of them. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, tells me like, hey, get alone, get away from people. Whatever you got to do, get away from your kids, get away from your wife, your husband, your family. Shut your door. Pray to the Father who's in the secret place. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So don't worry about being fancy. Does anybody try to talk fancier to people? Like, be honest. Like, have you ever been to like some kind of dinner party or something, and there'd be a doctor there, and you're just like, oh, wait a second here. I'm going to try to not look stupid. Excuse me, kind sir. All of a sudden. You don't have to be ultra spiritual. We do that in church all the time. You know, we try to use these big fancy spiritual keywords when we pray, and it doesn't have to be that. It should just almost be like, hey, you're talking to your buddy. God, I don't know what to do. I feel like a big idiot. Help me out. It doesn't have to be, oh, gracious Heavenly Father, maker of heavens and earth and the great divide within and the firmament. I don't know why I said firmament. It's not like that's a fancy word. But it doesn't have to be something that's so crazy and out there, and you don't have to sound like some televangelist when you pray. It can be really easy. So he says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So before you go and get in that little quiet place, he already knows. There's no secret. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. In this manner, therefore, pray. It's super simple. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not, oh, Heavenly Father, my will be done on this earth. That's not it, is it? But how do we pray? Let's be real. How do we pray? We pray, God, I need a new car. Well, no joke. He knows you need a new car. You're driving around a hoopty. He knows this, you know. But we act as if he doesn't know, that somehow he has turned his back and, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? He's driving a junker. Oh, Timmy Beavers is driving a junker. Shocker. He knows. You know what I mean? If he knows the desires of your heart and knows what you're in need of before you even know that you're in need of it. So your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, help me pull down your will and put it into action. Help me be an actor in your will. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Does that cover a lot of people's struggles for the day? Doesn't it? Right? Help me forgive people, because people are hard to live with. Help me not be tempted. Deliver me from temptation. I know you're going to tempt me. I know there's going to be trials, but help me, deliver me. Everybody got to eat. Give us our daily bread. What are the three things required in life for you to survive, right? Food, shelter. Like for your earthly body to survive. Food, water, shelter. Isn't that it? Those are the three things. So sometimes it's, and I'm guilty, I'm preaching myself. Sometimes when we go and we start talking about our wants and everything else, and, oh God, I don't know why you won't give this to me, because we start getting frustrated praying our will and then not seeing our prayers being answered, right? Because we're praying our will, not His will, but our will. And then we get frustrated by, God, why aren't you answering me? I'm praying every day. But maybe His will isn't right now. His time's not right now. Eventually, maybe you might get what you want, but you might not. To sum that all up, though, is should we, I mean, doesn't every Christian want to be an imitator? Don't we want to be one in one, step in step with God, step in step with Jesus? What do you want to do today? Because everybody that in the Bible has become step in step with Jesus, haven't they been successful, right? And I'm not saying, like, let's pray for success or anything like that, but God's will might be all of a sudden you lose your house and you're poor for you to actually start needing Him on a daily basis. I just had this conversation with a guy. Bunch of money, big nice house, fancy cars, on a whim, just buy whatever he wants. And as we were sitting there having this conversation, he was talking basically about how the state police doesn't pay very much. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, to be honest, I was like, I don't think I really need to make more money. I feel like it would be harder for me to know that I need God every day when I have a bunch of money and I can just buy whatever makes me happy for a little bit. I would rather be on a low salary. So sometimes when people are like, man, I'm struggling for money, I wish I just didn't have to struggle. It could be way worse. You could be going to hell and not know it. You could be needing Jesus more than you ever have in your life, but you never even know it because you just buy whatever you want to make you happy for a little bit. So anybody in financial struggles right now, count it a blessing. Be rich in spirit. So, prayer wasn't something that's just a willy-nilly thing, right? Even going on into John, the next chapter in John 16. Again, written in red. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Think about your prayer life. Have we asked, like, Jesus, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do right now? How do you want to use me? And then be ready to be used. But we don't ask that question. We don't take a moment and stop running our mouth asking God for more things to give us on this earth that's not going to really matter. You know, we keep asking those things, but then we're not listening for what He wants to speak to us, what He wants to show you, what He wants to show you in His Word, what He wants to show you in your life. We're not seeking those things. I mean, what's the iconic verse? Knock, the door will be open to you. Seek, you shall find. But it takes you actually wanting to do His will over your own will. We get numbed by that too much. Guilty of it. So how is it that we go to Him in prayer? Do we go to Him in prayer as the checklist of things that we have to do? You know, the checklist of, like, oh, I want to be a good Christian here, let me go ahead and pray. It's a relationship. You should want to spend time. Like, has ever anybody, like, knelt down to pray and God meets you and then you, like, oh, man, I wish I didn't do that. Says no one. right? When we go, we kneel before the Father. We have a good time in prayer. He speaks to us. You bask in his presence. There's nobody that gets up from that like, wish I didn't do that. That was a waste of time. The Holy Spirit, whatever. No, says no one, right? It's something that we should long for, should want for. You know, and there was this analogy, right, of, you know, part of, you know, you have a wife, part of the job, she's taking care of the house, stuff like that, right? Well, that's not a fun thing. Any women want to speak up? Is it really fun to clean the house and cook? No. Shut up. Don't lie. Don't lie. Okay. I'm just kidding. But also, like, that's part of, you know, like, if you're in a home and you have a husband that works, wife that stays at home, part of that job, her responsibilities would be, like, cleaning, cooking, cleaning, right? He's out. Hey, you're looking like you want to shoot me in the face. But that's part of the job, right? Isn't it much easier when, you know, the relationship is good, it's hot, right? Isn't it easier, women, of when he's treating you tender and being so nice and communicating? Isn't it easier to take care of him? Yes. Especially when he acts like a slob? Yes. Jeff. But isn't it easier? Isn't the attitude easier? Now, what if when he comes home and he's acting, you know, grumpy, Mr. Grumpy Pants, he's not being tender, just whatever, acting like a big grill. Is it really easy then? No. No, that's when you start thinking about cutting him when he's sleeping. That's what happens. So the attitude in which the duties are done, right, is different. When there's a relationship, when there's a connection. Now, when there's a disconnection, is your attitude really that good about doing it? Doing your job? No. No. Well, that, when there's a good connection, when we have a good connection, when we have a good relationship with God, with Jesus, wanting to know what he wants, you know, because he already knows what we want. We don't have to tell him 15 times, you know, I'm tired of my job, I want a new job. We don't have to tell him, he knows. You know, we don't have to tell him, oh, God, I'm praying for a husband, I'm praying for a wife. He knows. You don't, I mean, that's not saying that you can't pray those things to him, but let's start putting in perspective of which one is more important. What's more important? You know, throughout the day, eating meals are important, right, to survive. You know, sleeping is important to function. Those are important things. Is it really that important if maybe we run a little bit late to something? Does it really matter? You know, easy, New York. It's not that big of a deal. Because what do we have? Time. Right? Or taking extra time. Right? Taking extra time to spend, to have in quiet, to pray, what do you want to do through me today? What will of yours do I need to go ahead and put in action? So even he was bringing up Joshua and ruling, right? He created us to rule, our world around. What else can we control besides us? I can't control Jeremy. Jeremy can't control me. Trust me. My wife knows I'm stubborn. You cannot control me. I'm stubborn. But I can, right? I can tame my tongue. I can watch what I say. I can watch what I look at. I can control if I wake up a little earlier to get in a quiet place and get in the Word and pray. You can control that. Your boss can't tell you not to, right? So what can we control? We can control this. In my job, it shows me that nobody can control anything. Like, the government can't control drugs, right? The government tries to control so many different things that it can't control. You know, we can't control people. We can control us. We can be disciplined. We can obey his commands. We can abide in him. Abide. So knowing that God wants you to rule, knowing that through prayer is that communication, that's the commune, that's communing with God, speaking back and forth, finding out what his will is through his word, through him speaking to you, through the Holy Spirit. What's left? It's just doing, right? Faith without works is dead. You have to have both, faith and works. There's no in between. Faith and action. Faith doesn't sit still. It's walking constantly. Just keep in mind that God, when everybody wants to know like what God's will is for your life, sometimes it's just stepping in a gap somewhere. It's not anything super spectacular. Sometimes it's just, man, we're just looking for somebody to, you know, help with a setup. Go carrying some chairs or doing something like that. Oh, hey, I don't know what happened, but the toilets broke back there and we got to start hauling poo out of here. It's not always some kind of super awesome job. It's not. There's workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are... We're getting in these days, though, that it's very important to spend time to know what the will of God is, to know what the Word of God is, because he was saying it, there's so many different people that come presenting the gospel that's watered down, that is full of the world's thoughts and man's thoughts on what God thinks. I dare not to do that, what God thinks, because I can't even compare it to it. I can't put him in the human box of that he thinks the way that I do. If he thinks the way that I do, everybody would be dead. I'd have already smited everybody if he thought the way that I did. So it's a good thing. But just want to know God. Don't just want to come in and play the church. You step in, stand up, sing a couple songs, sit down for maybe one or two songs, stand up and have a prayer, blah, 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 and go out the door. Church is an additive to your relationship with Christ. It shouldn't be the sole plug of your relationship with Christ. It shouldn't be the sole plug of, got to get to church to go ahead and make sure I don't backslide. That shouldn't be it. Yes, church is important, but it's like an additive to your relationship with Christ. It is not, should not be the sole power to your relationship with Christ. That's on your own. It's kind of like I tell some of the kids that I coach in baseball, if you want to become good, the good players practice when other people ain't practicing. They're going home and working when everybody else is going home and sitting around and watching TV and eating Cheetos. I mean, it's true. So this shouldn't be your sole plug in your relationship with Christ of coming to church and having to lean. You know, we should lean on each other as believers, but it shouldn't be leaning so much that if somebody just steps away for a second, you're falling all the way down to hell. So add into your prayer life. Invest in it. There's return upon return upon return. Because when you start knowing the will of God, your prayers start getting specific, right? They start getting specific, not general things, but very specific things. You start specifying things in your prayer because you're knowing you're in step with God then, right? Knowing what he wants to do, knowing his plan for you, knowing what he wants you to do for the day to carry out his will, to be the vehicle to carry his will throughout the day. You start getting specific in your prayers and not just praying generally. Oh, bless his food, nourishing to our bodies, watch whoever keeps in your care, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Don't make it visitation, make it communication. But it doesn't have to stop just in a quiet time, in a quiet moment. It can be all through the day. Nobody says that you can't sit there on the line in the factory putting a part together and not be praying to God, right? Or driving a truck. Or just driving to work, driving from work, driving to lunch. It doesn't mean that you have to stop. Well, I don't have my closet to pray. I guess I'm going to have to skip it. Pray throughout your day. Pray without ceasing. And in him, you'll find rest. Let's end in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your love, your forgiveness. I thank you for just your mercy that you give us every day, every second of the day, because I need it. Every single one of us need it, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your will of this church, God, be done. That we're not just in here singing songs. We're not in here just preaching, but we're spreading the word of God, that we're doing something with this power, this Holy Spirit that you've given us. I pray that you would enact your will in this church. God, make us a room full of servants, Lord, your workmanship to begin your work in this community and wherever you want us to go. Not just a specific place. Help us not to get into the mode, Lord God, of just having one mindset, but help us to have a mindset of you and your love, because that's just the most perfect thing there ever has been. Is your love for us, your love that is everlasting. Father, let your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you have any?